Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Cullip, along here with Scott Micklin.
Good morning. It is Monday, November 23rd, week 37.
37.
Wow.
I know.
Midlife crisis.
Yeah, it's coming.
I don't know.
It's coming.
Get ready, everybody.
3 weeks.
Here we are. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we're glad that everyone's with us. Good to see you.
Good to see you, as always.
Thank you very much. There it is, the confirmation on the screen.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And so we've got a lot of great guests lined up again today to talk with us a little bit about what's been going on. Another live update from Jeff Bourgeois from San Juan Regional Medical Center. He'll be calling in shortly. Also, we're going to be talking about a holiday event that is still going on despite all this COVID craziness.
Yes, getting that, creative.
That is happening. But yeah, a lot of folks are thinking outside the box to try to make that happen. So we appreciate them. So we're going to get a live update about that as well, the Festival of Trees. So.
All right.
That's what's coming up. But we'll start by talking a little bit about testing, like we do on the program, to start things off. And again, the schedule for the week, testing here at San Juan College for about another 25 minutes or so. And then again later on this afternoon here at San Juan College. So two times today, 3 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. today here at San Juan College. The next event will be tomorrow, Tuesday, November 24th, here at San Juan College from 3 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. And on Wednesday, November 25th, from 8 a.m. to 9:30 out at McGee Park. That's a new location. And then on Friday, November 27th, from 8 a.m. until 9:30 out at McGee Park. So that's another kind of a new location, maybe a little larger capacity, I think, for cars. And so that's why they're having those things out there. And, of course, the Department of Health always reminds us to get registered ahead of time before you just show up so that they can move you through fairly quickly. And then they've got all your information to get you your results of your test. So that's kind of what's going on.
Good.
So there's that. We'll stop there for now and go to our first guest.
Yes, I believe Mr. Bourgeois is on the phone.
We will put him on the air here. Good morning. You're on KSJE. Thanks for calling in this morning.
Hey, Scott. Good morning. Jeff Bourgeois. How are you?
I am good. Mr. Bourgeois, thank you for calling in from San Juan Regional Medical Center, of course. And we appreciate it because I'm afraid we know just how busy your folks are over there with the numbers that we have been reporting. And so what can you tell us on this Monday morning?
Well, much like last week, Scott, it's just continues to be very busy both here and elsewhere in the state. I think we know there are, there's 845 hospitalizations currently statewide. You know, that's up from 825 from yesterday. And currently at our hospital, we have 52 patients on our respiratory floor. 48 of those have a confirmed COVID-19 positive test result. We're a little lighter today in our ICU than we were going into the weekend. So we have 10 of 14 beds full in our COVID ICU and 5 of 9 beds in our non-COVID ICU filled. And between the two, so between those 15 patients, there's a total of 8 ventilated patients. Very busy, I think, probably for us. What is really different than the first wave is that during the second wave, hospitals across the state are much busier than they were during the first wave. So the ICU capacity where we would typically transfer patients to is tight. And so we have daily calls, even across the weekend, to just measure our ICU capacity and see if we have a need to move an ICU patient where we might have the best opportunity to do so. And I will say that the hospitals in Albuquerque and Santa Fe specifically have been a wonderful resource to us, as on any given time they, you know, we can, so far we've been able to find a bed or two and move patients. So great coordination amongst the hospitals statewide, and just really watching all the numbers as everyone else is. But we do not yet know when the second wave will peak and turn softer. We are concerned about the holiday season coming up, and with a lot of travel and large gatherings, it is not unrealistic to expect some increases in cases and subsequent hospitalizations after these major holiday travel and family gatherings that typically take place. So we just encourage your audience, Scott, to just use extreme caution around travel and the size of gatherings and the length of any gathering that you might have. Community spread is the primary source of COVID-19 spread, and anything we can do to help reduce that spread is sorely needed at this time.
Very good. Good morning, Jeff. I have a question regarding the ICU changes, some of the decreases. Is that because of mortality, or is that because of recovery?
Hi, Megan.
Hi.
You know, it's what we've noticed is the number of deaths this time around relative to our hospitalization is down. And the county tracks that well on a week-by-week basis. And so we're nowhere near where we were back in May when we had a couple of weeks where we had 19 deaths here in San Juan County, not just at the hospital, but at San Juan County. And, you know, the numbers so far, the second wave, have been less than 5 per week. Now, that could certainly change. I think caregivers, physicians, and clinicians have learned a lot from treating the disease this go-round, and we're seeing the benefit of that. So mostly for us, it was our ability to transfer out or downgrade patients from ICU to a lower level of care.
Very good. And I know, of course, we've been saying since this began that hospital capacity has been one of the biggest concerns. In the beginning of this thing, the National Guard had come in, started setting up field hospitals up near the airport. Are field hospitals still in the works? Has that already happened?
That's a great question, Megan, and there's a lot of confusion around that. Previously, the National Guard resources that we received here were not really for hospital level of care. They were for patients that had a COVID-19 diagnosis, weren't really sick enough to stay in the hospital, but you know didn't have a place to go, or they needed to quarantine to protect their household. And so it was it's called an alternate care facility, an ACF. We don't have one planned with the National Guard to date. I do understand that last week in Albuquerque, the old Loveless facility on Gibson was being stood up to be able to handle a total load of about 20 individuals, again, for you know some very light oxygen therapy and quarantining while they were not sick enough to be in the hospital.
Understood. Thank you, Jeff. And I wanted to ask you, too, you mentioned being able to transport out some patients to Albuquerque. So obviously there's still some capacity there. Are we in danger of maxing out their hospital capacity and they're no longer able to accept patients from your facility? Or is that still a little bit of wiggle room there to kind of help with the patient loads here?
You know, there's still wiggle room today, Scott, you know, but if we start pushing up towards 1,000 hospitalizations, you know, another 150 or so, I don't know what it'll look like, to be honest with you. Suzanne Smith, our chief nursing officer, and myself, we have twice weekly calls with the regional hub, the other seven hospitals, plus representatives from the state, where we kind of monitor that. And then Suzanne is on a daily call. So we monitor that, but, you know, that's kind of a worst case scenario risk that everyone is trying to avoid. So most hospitals are taking steps to reduce elective procedures that would require an overnight stay in order to preserve that bed for an emergent admission or a COVID-19 admission, just to help meter the inpatient census statewide. And we've done the same thing here. You know, we're still conducting outpatient elective surgeries. We're still doing all essential surgeries, whether they be inpatient or outpatient. And the surgeon, along with our anesthesia team, look at that on a case-by-case basis and make sure that we have the capacity here at our hospital to take any surgical case that will look like it would need an overnight admission. And they're doing a great job with that. So the hospitals are self-managing their capacity as it is right now.
Very good. And I have a question about the COVID to home program. Has that been really effective in preventing sort of the revolving door that might happen with hospitalizations?
It really has, Megan. I don't have our current census numbers on that program, but it's quite a bit. And what has really helped us is to keep people at home and monitor their vital signs, including their O2 sats. And, you know, if they have a mild enough case, we just have an advanced practice provider checking in with them on a regularly scheduled basis. And, you know, to number one, help provide comfort and insight to the patient as their course of illness progresses. And then secondly, also catch patients who are getting worse and with that vital sign and O2 sat monitoring, we can understand if it's time for them to come to the hospital. And we've had a number of great catches that way. So thanks to our team that is doing that work. They're doing a great job there.
Very good. And I wanted to ask a bit more about staff too, Jeff Bourgeois, because we hear some hospitals across the country are seeing this increase in patients, and while we can increase beds and we can open up a field hospital if we need to or what have you, we can't increase the number of trained healthcare professionals that are working in our hospitals. How's your staffing? And I guess the other question is, how is your staff doing? Are they working long hours? I mean, I think just we need to be to be made aware of just what's going on there at the hospital and how the staff is stepping up and has been stepping up for months now.
They have been, and that's a great question, Scott. We have agency staff coming in, you know, which are temporary traveler positions that came in last week. We're onboarding more this week and next week, and we are developing incentives to help our staff if we need them to work extra shifts for us. You know, it's a real balancing act. We need to get people off the front line so they can get some rest. This is physically and emotionally challenging work. When you have the level of PPE you have to wear and the intensity of care provided to patients, both on the floor and in the ICUs, so we want to give them a chance to get away and decompress as they can, but we have developed a program that we're rolling out this week to help them if we need to ask them to work an extra shift. And, you know, we're in the same circumstance as so many hospitals are. You know, those calls that I mentioned to you that we have the regular check-ins with other hospitals across the state, you know, these higher than average patient loads across the state and the higher than average critical care patient loads across the state really do put a strain on the system, not only in terms of physical capacity, but, you know, as you mentioned, just having the professionals, nurses, respiratory therapists, and other having enough of them to meet the patient care demands.
Absolutely. I'm happy to hear about that program. And thank you, Jeff Bujold, for coming on again. I know you always give us your time. Words are apparently very difficult for me right now. but we so appreciate San Juan Regional Medical Center. We so appreciate all of you guys giving of your time to inform the community.
Thank you. Yes, Jeff.
Thank you, Megan and Scott. Appreciate you all as well. Have a great day.
All right, you too. That is Jeff Bourgeois, everyone. He is the CEO of San Juan Regional Medical Center, joining us for this live update this morning on our COVID-19 Community Information Program on KSJE. And as Megan mentioned, we definitely appreciate the sharing of their time. You know, they've got a lot of the things they could be doing.
That's right.
Talking to
They're
us.
Calling us.
Well, you know, hopefully it's still on their list of things to do. But
yes.
Yeah, we appreciate that. So anyway, that's a good thing to get an update. And you know, the numbers are high, as we're going to see here in just a moment.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at Johns Hopkins, and they've been tracking things, and we can kind of get an idea of where things are going, right?
Yes. So the number of confirmed cases in the United States is now at 12,259,959, and the number of confirmed deaths in the United States is now at 1,000,000. No, I'm sorry, that's global deaths.
Right.
I was like, whoa, we jumped up. No, the number of U.S. confirmed deaths is now at 256,830.
Correct. So, yeah, it's up.
Yeah, no, it's something like averaging 170,000 new cases a day.
Yes, from across the country.
Yes.
That's what we're seeing. And so in New Mexico, we can see that yesterday there was a total of 2,468 new cases across our state. We're now at a total of 81,896. And in San Juan County, we had 193 new cases in just one day yesterday. I think that is a record.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've seen a higher number than that in the last 37 weeks. For now, a total of 5,126. There were 33 deaths across our state yesterday, and that seems to be a very high number. Six of those were from San Juan County, so
mm-hmm.
that is starting to hit hard here. For now, a total of 221 souls lost here in the county. And the recoveries went up by 283 yesterday, which we celebrate, to 28,857 recoveries across New Mexico. So that's a positive news on that screen, but there's not much else that's positive about that screen. But that's where things are. And, of course, that's why we're in this lockdown, stay-at-home order that we are in, that the governor prescribed for 2 weeks. And if these numbers don't go down, I don't think that's going to stop on November 30th like folks are hoping it will.
Yeah.
These shutdown orders.
Probably not. I'm going to go ahead and...
You're going to put that out there?
Yeah. I'm not a gambler, so I'm not going to start a betting pool, but...
Please don't, on the air. Yeah. But yeah.
This is the second time I've done that by
accident.
Tried
to do that.
Okay.
Exactly. Navajo Nation, again, their numbers, again, another high number on Sunday, 383 new cases across the Navajo Nation. Five additional deaths, total now of 14,612 cases across the reservation, and they have... let's see, 347,354,000 COVID-19 tests have been administered. Their recovery numbers are 8,055. So there's that number as well. And then, of course, KSJE.com is reporting La Plata County, which last Friday entered into level red. So that's kind of where they are. And they've had to shut down some of their indoor dining and things along that line in La Plata County. So there's that going on north of the border. In New Mexico. Some numbers that came in after we went off the air on Thursday, so we want to share these with you. So these are a bit old, but again, these are the averages, the seven-day averages for the weekly COVID cases across the state of New Mexico. In San Juan County, the blue line, and the Navajo Nation, the green line. And you can see things are still heading up. The state is heading way up. Certainly more cases than during the last peak in July. We showed you that, but they really aren't flattening out at all. San Juan County's number in blue is higher again and still going up, and so is the Navajo Nation number still heading up.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
Not good.
And with these numbers this week of like 300 cases a day almost, that number is going to go higher next week, I'm afraid. And then these are the cases and the deaths. The yellow is cases. And you can kind of see that there at 274 for the last week. And the number of deaths, thankfully, we're still fairly low at two. But again, we're seeing more deaths as well in the county with five yesterday when I just mentioned it. So
six.
Six, yep. Thank you. So that's going to go up as well. But that's the yellow line are the cases. And we can see how we're almost getting back to where we were at our peak, which was earlier this year, back in May.
Yeah.
And that's not where we want to be.
No.
So anyway, that's the numbers. That's the data. Can't really say anything more about that.
No, it's sobering data.
They are what they are, mm-hmm. those numbers and things like that. Next thing we want to share is our watch list. Again, the State Environment Department is putting out this watch list of stores, businesses that have rapid responses, which means they have a positive case, and the team goes in rapid response to try to start contact tracing to try to keep that outbreak, if you will, to a minimum. And so if there's more than four rapid responses, then that business is ordered to shut down. And that's kind of what we've seen with the West Main Walmart was shut down for 2 weeks. They have now reopened. As we take a look at the list, most businesses only have two, and we can list them for the radio audience. Dillard's at two, I Associates of New Mexico at two, Farmington Fire Department at two, Taco Bell, East Main at two, UPS, Customer Service Center, at two. The Walmart at West Main has two. They just reopened. They still have two. The Northeast Elementary School had two, and Kirtland Central High School has two, and Kirtland Middle School has two cases. The Walmart Supercenter on East Main Street has five rapid responses now. So I would expect that we'll be closing down
East, yeah.
Shortly on mm-hmm. East. So that's where we are with that, with the watch list.
It's gonna create more lines at other places, I think. I think part of the issue when we saw with the long lines outside of grocery stores was partially due to the closing of one of the Walmarts.
Right.
So
I agree. And I think folks are concerned about that. And I guess I'm hard to be upset about that, because I'd rather them shut down the business if they've got a lot of cases and a lot of responses and get it cleaned up than to keep having the public go in there to spread it even more. But I know a lot of folks are concerned. A lot of folks are concerned about standing in a line. Is that more contagious, standing in a line with people, than in an infected store? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think if we see a long line outside a store, maybe try a different one. I mean, we're kind of married to the familiarity of where we shop, but this might be time to look around town and see where these shorter lines are. I don't know.
Very true. Yeah. Well, and for the first time, I did grocery pickup this weekend.
First time.
How about that?
Oh, I've been a faithful grocery pickup girl since before the Rona.
You were doing that even before. That's right.
Yeah.
When you could still shake hands with people.
Yeah.
Crazy thought.
Exactly. I know. I could still sign papers and.
But it was very convenient. I guess
is my
point. So if folks should maybe take advantage of that. I know the pickup times are few and far. I mean, they're getting maxed out.
Yeah.
But if you can plan ahead,
I had
to plan about 3 days ahead of time to pick up mine on Sunday.
Plan ahead.
And it, what was it, 11 in the morning on a Sunday. But it worked.
Yeah.
And I was there for maybe, I don't know, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
They were right on it.
Did you get your turkey?
They didn't pick up a turkey. No.
You did?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
But I'm good.
All right.
Thank you.
Because you really should be thawing it in the fridge by now.
Thank you.
Side note, viewers.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Appreciate that.
Just wanted to do a public service announcement about our birds.
There you go.
All right.
Well, it is that week. That's true.
Uh-huh.
And that's a reminder for a programming note. We will not have a program on Thanksgiving.
Except we will have an airing.
We're going to do a special airing later on. Actually, we're going to post it on social media today because we're talking to our doctors later on this morning. They're not available right now. So once we get through with that, we will post it live to Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, all the different channels, so folks can see that information. But I know our local doctors wanted to talk about this vaccine news that we're hearing about. So be watching for that, everybody. But we won't have a show specifically on Thursday.
Right.
So there you go. We do have another guest that's scheduled for today to talk a little bit about the holidays and the holiday tradition that is happening in San Juan County in Farmington, despite the fact that we have COVID-19 happening, and she's just appeared on my screen like a vision. And and so it's great to see her. And let me make sure that we're going to get the right name up here because I don't think I filled that in just yet. So I apologize. Carrie Olson, though, is standing by from her office at Presbyterian Medical Services. So we can talk to you, Carrie, but we can't necessarily see you just yet. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. And thank you for joining us this morning. Hold on one second. I'm almost there.
Yeah, bringing some holiday cheer for sure.
We are appreciative of that, so that's wonderful. So stand by, get you on air, and now we can do that. There you
there
are.
There you are.
Look
there
at that.
We are.
Look at that. She's always camera ready. I've
she
never
is.
Seen Carrie Olson not camera ready. But it's great to see you to talk a little bit about the PMS Festival of Trees, which I know has changed even probably since you and I talked last about the
Correct.
Festival of Trees. So what's the latest? And I know things can still change, right?
Correct. So obviously we can't have our festival trees like normal, like we usually do in the Civic Center. We partnered with the Downtown Association, and we are putting our donated trees and centerpieces and wreaths in the businesses downtown on Main. So we were very, very excited about that. We have 29 businesses that are participating, so that's just great. And then now, since we have the stay-at-home order, we are basically going virtual. So all of this is still possible. We have a great committee, and we really kind of thought this might happen. So we created this event as a non-contact event if necessary, and here we are. So the trees are still going up. I've talked to every business downtown that's participating, and they are willing to have our trees and centerpieces and wreaths in their business fronts, even if we don't come out of this in on December 1st.
Okay, great. And you've got a question,
well,
Megan?
Well, no, I was just going to add on. Hey, Carrie, it's Megan. no, I was just going to say, I actually like that better in some ways, like taking a stroll down Main Street,
Correct.
Seeing all these
Correct.
Trees. It's
right.
very, you know,
yeah.
it's nice. It's very
yeah.
like Bedford Falls feeling.
There you go.
Hallmark Christmas is what we're going for.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah. And it's wonderful. The businesses have been very cooperative and very flexible with us coming in and putting up the trees. And then you go online, and that's PMSFestivalOfTrees.com, and you can virtually go through. We have a map. If you scroll down to the bottom, there's a map of the downtown, and you just click on it and the tree will come up, and you can buy your tickets there. So literally you can do this from the comfort of your own home, or you can stroll, or you can drive by.
Great. And I have some Festival of Trees ignorance going on here.
Oh, okay. Dear. Why would you admit that on the air?
Because I don't think I'm the only one. It's important for people to know they're not alone.
Okay. What's it? What is it?
Do these, well, are the trees like thematic? I feel like
I'm sorry, say that again.
Are the trees thematic? Like, what, you know, or we're not talking about like my tree is pre-lit from Kmart, so we're talking about a higher caliber of tree here.
You know, we have a little bit of everything. It just depends on what the donor decides to bring in. We have 26 different trees, everything from the high schoolers, or the Farmington High Senate is doing some trees, to people who have done it for years and years and years, who've been doing it for almost 17 years now. So we kind of have everything in between. It's exciting. So you have to go and look.
There you go.
But everything is decorated, everything. You basically get the tree and everything underneath it when you win this tree. And our tickets are only 50 cents. We did keep that the same this year.
Very cool. And I know, Carrie, that while you, I know, are encouraging folks to go downtown safely and distantly, they can also see the trees on the website and
Correct.
Kind of buy their tickets and vote for their favorite tree on the website. That's all an online situation this year, correct?
All online. Exactly. Zia Media has helped us with it, and they've done a fantastic job. You literally can stroll through downtown on a map, or you can just go in like you would on Amazon and just pick, you know, it just kind of pops up, and that won't happen until December 1st, because we have to get the tree set up,
right.
And then you'll be able to buy those tickets on the 1st.
And how long will they be available to be seen on the website? They're up from the 1st till when?
Yes, the 1st through the 6th. The 6th, we will still have a live drawing, just like we normally did in the Civic Center, but it'll be streamed live on our website and on our Facebook page. And so tune in at 5 o'clock on the 6th, and you can see if you want a tree.
Excellent. Very good. And of course, as I mentioned, folks will still be able to watch you on Facebook and the website to watch that drawing to see kind of if they've won, because I know that's a big deal for people.
It is a big deal.
It's a very big deal.
$1,000.
Right. And so, and I guess the other big question is, are the gift card trees going to be there, Carrie?
So not all of them. Usually we have five or six, and it was just hard for us to go to each business. And times are hard. However, Jamie Church at the Chamber of Commerce is getting together a tree, so they're putting together a gift card tree. But we do have two cash trees. So we have two $500 cash trees this year, which can help out anybody. So we're pretty excited about that.
I'm super excited about that. I'm thinking about all of the. Can I double dip? Can I buy like a bunch of tickets?
Of course, you can buy a bunch of tickets.
We encourage you to buy lots of tickets.
I mean, because if I bought, okay. Anyway, I'm like my wheels are spinning here.
No, it's yeah.
There's some wonderful people get super creative with this, so it's really fun. The other thing we're doing that's a little different this year. We obviously couldn't do all the events that we normally can do, but the one that stayed. Basically the same is the teddy bear story time, and that's happening on the 3rd. And so basically what you're doing is you're buying a ticket for $5. You get a handmade teddy bear and a book, and there's only 200 tickets available. So if you want those, you might want to get online right away. Those are on sale right now. But we're also doing a live streaming at 12 o'clock on December 3rd. And our very own Mayor Duckett is reading How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And there are some really fun things going on with that. We have some special guest stars on there.
Awesome. That's great. Well, it's going to be the same but different, I think, is the
yeah,
headline this year.
Different.
Yeah. But we're so glad that the Festival of Trees is continuing because, as I've mentioned, I think before on the air, it is the kind of a beginning, official beginning of the holiday season after Thanksgiving in Farmington. It's one of my favorite events. So we're so glad that you and the committee, shout out to them and the volunteers have been able to kind of put this together and think outside the box.
Yes, we have a wonderful committee. Some of the ladies have been on this board for 17 years, so it's been wonderful. And I'm glad we're able to bring this event in a different way and just keep the tradition going.
Very true. And again, all the money raised from this event, Carrie Olson, and I'm on the board, so I know this, but maybe other folks don't, is going to stay in San Juan County and supports the programs of Presbyterian Medical Services, right?
Absolutely. All six of our programs are here locally. All the money stays here locally.
Well, great. Thank you so much, Carrie, for coming on and sharing about this. Like I said, I had a Festival of Trees ignorance going on over here, so I'm like super stoked and ready now. And it seems like a great way to even pair supporting our local business, right?
Just exactly.
Set up a curbside thing, see the trees, pick up your curbside items. I love it.
Yes.
There you go.
Well, thank you for your time this morning.
You're welcome, Carrie. Thank you. Stay well.
You too.
That is Carrie Olson from Presbyterian Medical Services, our guest here on KSJE, and we appreciate her being with us, of course, and of course the Festival of Trees. Goes without saying. It's great.
It is.
Well,
it
if
is.
You haven't been, it's great. But again, being able to go see the same see the trees at the businesses or online, you know, you don't have to go downtown. If you want to just stay home, you can do it online, which I think is a great option for some folks.
It is.
So
it is. Hats off to them for preparing well in advance. I love a good contingency plan.
They have been ready, I think. And they've been ready with plans probably A through F.
I think so. Knowing some of those ladies on that committee,
right?
I am guarantee you they might even have A through Z. Yeah.
They might.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
But there you go. So, great. Well, that is our show.
That is our show.
I think for today. Do you have any updates about minks or
No minks,
ferrets?
But I do have my personal algorithm struck again. So... we've talked about this, that I have somebody out there that does research sometimes for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So harm reduction Thanksgiving.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So so the harm reduction model is actually a model that public health uses. Things like needle exchanges, et cetera, are considered harm reduction. So it's taking into account human behavior and saying, well, we know that humans are going to do certain things, and so let's try to lay out a plan to reduce as much harm as possible. So the idea is that people are not advised to gather, right, for Thanksgiving, right?
That's right.
The advisement is to stay within your family unit, to not travel, to not host a big event where everybody's crossing paths, but we know that people are still going to do it. So the idea is that if you're hosting this Thanksgiving, that you lay out some rules beforehand so that you can safeguard against any potential awkward moments. So, for example, if I was hosting, I might say, like, hey, I really want everybody to wear a mask except for when we're actually physically eating or whatever.
Okay.
Or no long hugs.
Right. Or set up, like, 50 kids' tables. And then right. They all have their own little corner of the dining room.
Yeah. We need to, like, check in on the stats on card table sales.
Yeah. That could be
the card tables are coming up.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. But yeah, everyone needs to stay safe. Yeah. That's for sure. There's a question that came up about the Festival of Trees was going to do a big kickoff on Saturday, Small Business Saturday after Thanksgiving, of course, and that has been changed. And so that's not able to happen. So that is the answer to your question. As Carrie Olson said, I believe the trees will go on display beginning on December 1st, and that would be after the Small Business Saturday. So that has changed a little bit because of the public health order that is in effect until at least November 30th. So that is not able to happen, unfortunately. And all these businesses are doing, if they're able to, you know, curbside pickup or delivery or things along that line. So that's kind of how things are a bit different with that than the original plans.
Yeah.
So.
And I repeat, I like the Main Street thing. I like it better than the Civic Center, actually.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. Okay.
Well, that's, you know.
Yeah.
You can
cool.
do that. It's cool. Yeah.
That's nice.
I like it.
Yeah.
Kind of like an art walk with trees.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Bedford Falls comes to mind.
Okay. Stay within the bridge. And that is going to wrap up our show. All right, everybody.
That was good. Okay.
We appreciate you joining us. Again, there'll be more online, and we will direct your attention to that. We're going to talk to our local doctors here later on this morning, so that will be on posted in just a few moments. So so stay tuned for that, and we won't see you on Thursday, but we'll see you again next Monday.
We'll see you in week 38.
Oh, my. Okay.
Oh, my.
That's true. All right, stay well, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving, and do stay safe. Thanks for watching. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.